first book of the Bible, Genesis, will be in chapter number 39 tonight. Genesis 39. And once you get there, if you don't mind to stand, if you can, that way I know everybody's there. Good to see my friend Nick Copas here tonight. He slipped in on me. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible reads this in Genesis chapter 39. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole chapter. I'm not going to preach the whole chapter, but I want to read it just so we can get a good understanding of it. The Bible says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that all the Lord made, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in the house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he knew not all he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is in the house, and he hath confirmed all that he had to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his lord came home. And she spake unto him according to the word, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did the servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Dear God, tonight, Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, that you would just help me to preach tonight, God. And Lord, I pray that you would just prepare the hearts of the people tonight, God, Lord, even in this very moment, Lord, just to be able to receive the things that that you gave me in this message, Lord. Help me to give them the things that you showed me, God, tonight. And Lord, I just want to do a good job, Lord. I want to hide behind the cross tonight, God, Lord. I don't care what is said about me, Father, but Lord, I just want them to leave saying that you're a good God, Lord. I want us to get some help tonight, Father, and I pray that you do that. And Lord, we'll give you all the honor and praise for it. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all may be seated. But tonight, I want to preach about this passage in the book of Genesis, I think there's a lot of things in this passage that we could learn. We could learn a lot about Joseph and Potiphar. We could learn about Potiphar's wife. There's a lot of things in the text that we could learn about, and in this whole chapter, there's a lot of things. But tonight, I just want to preach out of a small few verses in this passage. But tonight, we could just relate this to false accusations being made. We know that those have been going on for 3,700 years. That's when this took place. And you hear a lot about that today. There was a false accusation made and he was put in prison. And we could go a lot further into that. We could look at wicked women in the Bible. There's a lot of them. Jezebel, Ahab's wife, Potiphar's wife here, and even Delilah who cut Samson's hair. We could learn a lot about that tonight. But tonight what I want to kind of focus on is how a Christian ought to respond to the devil attacking. That's what I want to look at tonight. Now I want the title of my message to be The Devil Woman. There's a devil woman in this passage. Now, I think a lot of y'all are older, and before I really got right with God, I used to listen to old country music. That's all I cared about. I loved that country music. And I don't think there's anything wrong with a lot of it, but with a lot of it, there is. But one of the people I used to listen to was Marty Robbins. And he had a song that come out in June of 1962 called Devil Woman. And whenever I read this passage, it kind of reminded me about that. He said, Devil Woman, let go of me. Devil Woman, set me free. I want to go home. And that's kind of what this made me think about whenever I was reading this passage. But I just kind of want to get us caught up in this story. I want to preach from verse 7 to about verse 12. But we have to really understand verse 1 to 6 to understand what's going on to 7 to 12. But in there, Joseph, you know, a lot of y'all probably remember Joseph, the story of him being having that coat of many colors. He was favored among his dad. He was his dad's favorite, and he had other brothers, and they hated him because he was his dad's favorite, and they made him that coat, and he was sold into slavery. They throwed him in a well, and then they eventually sold him into slavery, and he ends up in Egypt. He ends up with Potiphar there, and Potiphar, he's a captain of the guard in Egypt. So he's brought down there to Egypt, and the Lord was with Joseph. That's what it says in verse 2, and he was a prosperous man. And here's something that I think can help us tonight. In verse 3, it said that his master, Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him. See, whenever a Christian is really living for God and really living that out, you can tell that. Other people can see that in your life. And they could see the things you're doing and say, I bet you he's a Christian. See, we need to be reminded of that tonight. Whenever we go out of these walls, everything that we do is put on a spotlight because we're a Christian. See, we're supposed to be a representative of Christ and live for Him. And other people will take note of that. Potiphar, he took note of that. He saw that the Lord was with him. And something else he noticed is he noticed that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. He noticed that everything just kind of seemed to go good for Joseph. It didn't seem like too much was going on in his life. And I know today that we have a lot of things going on in our life, but the Lord will bless us. See, whenever we live for Him, God wants to bless us. But whenever we have a lot of stuff in our life that don't belong there, see, God can't do that. The way that I've always thought about it is if I'm standing right here and God's up here, if I got too much junk right in here, God can't reach down and give it to me. But see, God wants to bless us, but we have to live for Him. He noticed that Joseph, he could see it in him that the Lord was with him. Potiphar could. And so Potiphar, he noticed that, and he made Joseph the ruler over his house. He gave everything to him. He said, Joseph, I'm going to let you take care of this. And we see there in verse 6, he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And it also said that Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. Now that goodly person and well-favored, what that meant was that Joseph was an attractive man. I noticed that me and Joseph have a lot in common. But That's what it says in the text there. He was a goodly person and well favored. Maybe that's one reason why Potiphar's wife was after him. But I want us to look at what Potiphar's wife was doing to him, and also the comparison of what he did when his response to her. Now in the Bible, there's many types of things that end up being a type of something else. And I think that tonight in this passage, that Potiphar's wife is a type of Satan, and Joseph is a type of a Christian man. See, Joseph was a Christian man, but it's an example of how we should be today whenever the devil attacks us. And he will attack us, amen? I mean, I think everybody in here who's saved could say, yeah, he'll attack, he will, because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But something we need to notice in this passage is in verse 7 to 9, we could see that he refused. He refused. Verse 7, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused." Amen. But he refused. See, whenever it said there that she cast her eyes, what that meant was that she gave him a gaze. She was gazing at him, and that she was giving him like a seducing look. And I'd say she's probably had her head turned a little sideways and had her mascara on her eyes and batted them real big at him. But see, she was trying to cast a seducing look at him. I'm sure she probably painted her face up, put her best clothes on, put her perfume on, and she had all that planned out before she come to Joseph and just looked all real good. Let me say this. Sin will always look good at first. It'll always look good. But see, the thing about it is it just looks good, but you can't really see the other side of that thing. See, sin always will be pleasurable for a season. But that's it, it's just for a season. See, sin will never come to you in the way that it really is. It'll always show itself to look good. You know, you don't have to go very far. You don't have to flip through many channels. You'll see a commercial for a movie that's coming out that's just awful. They'll make it look real good. You know, you'll see an ad for a beer or something like that. It'll look real good, look refreshing. It'll say, yes, it's great, you know, everything. It always looks real good, Brother Sammy, but it ain't always end up good. It don't ever show you the other side of it. See, stuff will come to you like that in a way that wants to make it appear like it's a good thing, but it really ain't. And that's what she did. She was coming to him, appearing like it was a good thing, like it looked good, but it really wasn't. But see there, I like in verse 8, I love how just simplistic this says it. But he refused. Amen. He refused. And I know that's a lot easier said than it is done. I mean, you hear about, there was an ad campaign that come out in 1986. It was whenever America was dealing with that war on drugs. And they come out with the slogan through the DARE program, and I'm sure everybody knows it. It was just say no. You know, they encourage you that if anybody come up and said, hey, do you want to try this new drug I found, this marijuana, this whatever, and it was just say no. And see, whenever we're Christians, whenever sin comes in our life, whenever we see a glimpse of it trying to come in, trying to look good, trying to come at us, we need to just say no. We need to say no to that. Joseph, he refused. He refused. Now there's two reasons that he gave that he didn't want to do it. Now these two reasons for him not doing it, I think that a lot of our men in our society, lost men, that would probably be their reason to do it. Let me show you what I mean. His two reasons, two of the reasons why he said that he wouldn't, number one, he was trusted with everything in the house. See, whenever Joseph saw that he was a prosperous man, he said, Joseph, I'm going to give you everything in here. You just take care of it. You're going to be the ruler of the house. And you know, I've studied a lot about the Civil War days and before in our country. And the way that I read about that is in slavery times, whenever the ones who were just kind of at the bottom of the barrel, they always had to do the hard work outside. But the ones that was real good, they got to come in the house. And see, that's the same thing that was happening here. He saw that Joseph was a prosperous man and that God was with him, so he put him in the house. He gave him rule over everything in the house. And also, He was the highest authority in the house. You know, he said that there. He said, there's none in this house greater than I. Now, I think a lot of times today that we could see somebody thinking that they're at the top and that they're so high that they can get above God. But see, Joseph, he realized that just because he was at the top in man's eye, that he wasn't at the top in God's eye. He couldn't get above God. See, man's ways and God's ways are totally different. In the book of Isaiah, it said there that God's thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are God's ways our ways. See, God's standard and man's standard is two totally different things. The book of Proverbs said that there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, the way that God sets up things is not the same way that we set up things. See, in Genesis over there, they set up the Tower of Babel. They thought they was going to get higher and above God. But you see what happened there? There's hundreds of languages in the world now. There was probably 70 whenever that happened. But see, God broke that up. They thought that their ways was better than God's ways. But Joseph, he refused. He refused whenever sin come to him. Now, that kind of makes you think, well, why did he refuse? It says it there in the text. He refused because, number one, he knew that it would be a sin not to. And he also realized that he might miss out on a blessing because of it. In verse 9 there, he said that there is none greater in the house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now in verse 5 there, in the text, it said that it came to pass that he made him overseer in the house and over all that he had. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. He blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. See, Joseph realized that the blessings were coming down from God because he was being faithful to God. But he also realized that why would he do this thing whenever God's blessing him? And that's something we need to think about today. Because I'll say this, America is the number one most blessed country in the world. And we know that every good and perfect gift comes from above. So those blessings are coming from God. And we don't have no right to do things and sin against God whenever He's been so good to us. I heard it said one time, somebody said that Christ died for us, Christ gave His life for us, so I'm going to give my life to Him. And I think that needs to be everybody's attitude tonight, because Christ indeed did give His life for us, and we need to give our life to Him. We need to watch how we sin against God. He's been so good to us. He could quit the blessings. He could stop them right now and we would still have to praise Him for the rest of our life just because of how good He's been so far. We need to be careful with how we treat the Lord. And I like what Brother Rick said a few weeks ago. He said that, you know, the Lord is not on earth anymore. He's just ascended back up into heaven. But the closest thing that we have to Him on this earth is His Word. How we treat His Word would be a pretty good description of how we would treat Him if He was still here today. Amen. He refused. Joseph refused whenever she come to him. So we see firstly that verse 8 there it said, but he refused. And secondly, he resisted. He resisted. In verse 10 there, in the text, verse 10, it said, and it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Now, whenever I was reading this passage, I was telling Brother Brian there that it just kind of come to me. The Lord just gave it to me pretty quickly whenever I was praying about what I needed to preach about. But whenever I was reading through this in verse 10, that verse 10 reminded me of something else I had read before. And what it reminded me of is Judges chapter 16. That's the story of Samson and Delilah. See, Delilah come to him and she was really just pressing him, asking about where his strength come from. This is what Judges 16, verse 16 and 17 says. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart. See, we see that she was just urging him, just pressing him. And he finally just gave up and told her. Now, I think that there might be something to that. Something about a woman just constantly going on and on that a man finally just has to do something. I don't know if any of y'all husbands know what I'm talking about. I don't know. I'm not married. I'm just saying, just putting that out there. But I think there might be something to that. But see, there was a difference between what happened with Joseph and what happened with Samson there. See, Samson, he was physically strong. He was a very physically strong man. I read over there in Judges 16 that he left Gaza and the gate was shut, so he just picked it up, bar and all, and went up to the hill of Hebron about 7 miles. He just picked it up and put it on his shoulder. I mean, that's got to be a strong man. He took a jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000 Philistines. That's got to be a strong man right there. And something else he did, he also was in that temple for the false god of Dagon, and he was up there against that pillar, and he pushed it down and destroyed that whole temple, killing more then than he had in his whole life and himself. I mean, he was a physically strong man. You won't ever see nothing in the scriptures of somebody being that strong. Now, he might have been physically strong, and he was, but he was actually weak. He was actually a weak man. See, whenever Delilah started really pressing on him, that's whenever he got weak. Now, what's the difference? What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say there's a difference in that comparison versus what happened with Joseph. See, Joseph, she did the same kind of thing. It said in verse 10 that it came to pass, she spake to Joseph day by day. But what did he do? He didn't give in. He didn't give in. Now, I remember, you know, what I heard about Joseph as a kid, what I read about, you know, the story about him being sold into slavery. I don't think he was very physically strong. I think that if he was physically strong, then maybe all that stuff about him getting thrown into a well and getting sold into slavery and his brothers treating him like that, I don't think that would have happened. But here's the difference. See, Samson was physically strong, but he was weak. I don't think Joseph was physically strong, but he actually was strong in the Lord. He was strong in the Lord. See, there's a difference. You know, it don't matter. I know that Paul said that if physical exercise profiteth little, I mean, you could go down here to the gym over here and work out and just get big muscles, but that don't make no difference at all in the world if you ain't strong in the Lord. In the Lord is what matters. See, you'll die with them big muscles. You'll go to hell with them big muscles. But it don't matter what you do with your physical body, but if you die and you are in the Lord, then you'll die and you'll go to heaven. See, there's a difference there. I'm talking about a difference in the world standards and what God's standards are. There's a big difference. And if you want to find out the difference, it's in this book, this King James Bible. Amen. They reacted differently. I'm talking about Samson and Joseph. So we see that Joseph resisted. He resisted her going and talking to him every day. And I want to say this, it's a good thing to resist. It's a good thing to resist. In the book of James chapter 4, James wrote this in James 4 and 7. He said, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. See, it's a good thing to resist as long as you're resisting the right thing. The right thing to resist is the devil. He said you need to submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, I've seen it before at the nursing home. I know that Brother Rick has seen it in 42 or 43 years of preaching, but there's a lot of people that will resist God. There's a lot of people that will notice that they're under conviction. You can see it. They know it. They need to be saved, but they resist it. But I'm talking about resisting the devil. It's good to resist if we're resisting the right thing. He resisted her, and like I said, she was a type of the devil. He resisted the devil. The last point on this is I want to make this connection. He wouldn't listen to her, and he said that he wouldn't even get next to her, and he wouldn't be with her. So he wouldn't even listen to her. I thought about Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. It says this, Blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, I thought about that because that's three parts. That verse is in three parts. And it matches up with what he did just about perfectly. Number one, it said, blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He wouldn't listen to her. He wouldn't take bad advice from her. See, counsel is whenever you try to get advice from somebody, try to get some help. It's about talking. See, he wouldn't listen to her. He was walking not in the counsel of the ungodly. He wouldn't even be next with her. He wouldn't even be next to her. It said that blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner. Nor standeth in the way of the sinner. He wouldn't even be next to her, standing next to her. He wouldn't be with her, sitting in the seat of the scornful. See, somebody who's lined up with God and somebody who's in the Lord, it don't matter. See, he was about 1,000 years away from Psalms, David writing that in Psalms, but he was still going by the Word of God. Let me say this. Any time that anybody claims to be with God and they're not with this book, you can mark it down, they ain't. If it don't line up with God's Word, then it ain't got nothing to it. You know, you hear a lot about revivals going on today. We heard about that one going on a few months ago. But see, they was doing things that wasn't even scriptural. There was people running it that had never been saved. See, God can't use something that ain't a part of His Word. See, we need to line up our life with this book. We need to line up the things we do in here with this book. We need to line up the way that we work out there with this book. Whenever a person is saved, every part of their life has to revolve around God and His Word. We see that he wouldn't even listen to her. He wouldn't be next to her. He wouldn't be with her. He resisted. And lastly, I want to say this. He retreated. Amen. He retreated. Verse 11 and 12 says this. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. See, sin caught up with him when he was alone. Sin caught up with him when he was alone. See, she made sure that all the men was out of the house and it was just him and her. And see, that's the same way that the devil wants to do you today. He don't want you to be in here with the church whenever you got good fellowship with the brethren, you're living for the Lord. He wants to get you when you're depressed and you're alone. That's when he wants to get you and draw you away. See, sin gets personal when you're alone. It gets personal. It gets personal whenever you're alone with that person that ain't your wife, that person that ain't your husband. It gets personal whenever it's just you and your computer. It gets personal when it's just you and your TV. It gets personal whenever it's just you and that pill bottle. It gets personal whenever it's just you and that beer bottle. See, I'm saying that sin gets personal whenever it's just you. Whenever you're alone. That's when sin gets personal to you. See, Satan wants to attack you when you're alone. The book of Proverbs says in chapter 11, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. See, I'm talking about being together with other Christians. I done talked about that word counselor. It's getting good advice from people. You know, seeking godly counsel. Whenever I was still struggling to know whether the Lord wanted me to preach or not, I talked to Brother Rick about it. That's good counsel. There's safety in that. I think I even mentioned it to Brother Sammy. That's good counsel. There's safety in that. Whenever you got good fellowship with other Christian men, there's safety there. But see, that's not when the devil's going to get you. That's not when he's going to try real hard. Whenever he tries real hard, it's going to be when you're alone. Amen. And Galatians 6 and 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. See, if we got good fellowship, if we're in church, and we got a good church family, we can bear one another's burdens. See, if I tell Brother Sammy about a problem that I'm having, then that means that I can pray for it and he can pray for it too. See, there's safety in that. The devil wants to get you alone. He don't want you to tell nobody about a problem you're having. He don't want this person to know. He don't want your pastor to know. He don't want nothing of that. None of that to happen because He wants to get you alone. If He can get you alone, He can take you out of God's will. He can get you away from God. He can get you away from a church. He can get you away from your Christian friends. He can do all that. But I'm talking about that Joseph, he refused, he resisted, and he also retreated. But sin was coming to him and it was getting personal. Let me say this. Sin eventually caught him. Caught him, literally. Verse 12, and she caught him by his garment. Sin literally had caught him. Satan was ready to strike. You remember in Genesis 3, he was a serpent. He took the form of a serpent that would strike. See, Satan's always ready to strike on you. He's always ready to strike on a child of God. See, and also in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. See, he's always ready to strike on you. He's always ready to walk around and seek you that he might devour you. See, the devil, he don't want anybody to be in fellowship with God. That's the worst thing that can happen to him. Because if you're in fellowship with God, that's totally against what he wants. See, I'm talking about you have to be careful with this thing of sin. We have to look at Joseph's life and see it as a way that we need to reflect today. Because Joseph is a really good example of what we need to do. See, he resisted sin and he retreated from it. And I want to say this, God allowed the situation to happen. See, Joseph was in this situation with Potiphar's wife, and whenever it happened, God didn't say, whoa, I wasn't expecting that to happen. See, God knew that it was going to happen, and He let it happen. God allowed it. But something else that God allowed was Joseph having the wisdom and the ability to get up and run away from it. See, God will always provide a way out for us. See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, this is what Paul wrote in verse 13. He said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. See, God will always allow us a way to escape temptation. Even Jesus had to face temptation. Whenever He went up into the mountains to pray and to fast and get away from everything, He was fasting, He didn't have no food, and He was up there and He was hungry. See, Jesus was a man just like we are. And Brother Sammy, I know me and you especially get hungry a lot. But see, He was up there and He was hungry, and Satan tempted the Lord Jesus. He said, if you're God, then take them stones and turn it into bread. See, it's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus Himself was tempted. But the difference between us, what happens a lot of times with us, I'm talking about me and with Jesus, is that Jesus resisted it. He refused it. See, a lot of times we fall into it. But we need to be more like Jesus. Amen. God will always provide a way out. Always. We have that promise in His Word. And let me say this, if it's in His Word and He promised it to us, then you can guarantee it. You can stand by that. Amen. Staying where you're at is always more comfortable than making a move for God. It's always more comfortable to sit in bed and lay there at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. That's always a more comfortable thing to do. It's more comfortable to come home after working all day Wednesday and sit in the recliner than it is to come to church. But see, Jesus in His Word didn't call us to be comfortable. See, He prepared a place of rest for us after this thing's over. But He didn't call us to be comfortable, but what He called us to was to be Christ-like. He called us to be more like His Son. We need to be like Jesus. And He also calls us to be separate. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, it says this. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to be like the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Now, it could have been really easy and probably more comfortable for Joseph just to give in that moment. She done come to him. She done grabbed a hold of him. Well, you won't leave me alone about it, so all right, whatever. He probably won't know about it anyway. I'm at the top of his list. Potiphar, he won't ever say nothing to me. But see, he did the more uncomfortable thing. He took off running. It said that he fled and got him out. See, he was wanting to keep that promise up with God because God had done been blessing him. He didn't want to ruin it now. And see, that's the same attitude we need to have about it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it said that we also need to come out from among them and be separate. See, it's not comfortable to be separate. But we do need to be separate to be like Christ. Amen? Amen. Lastly, I want us to look at this, that we need to run from the devil and to God. We need to run from the devil and to God. I heard Cody Zorn preaching a really good sermon about separation, and he commented on how Baptists always want to separate from but never separate to. You know, it's easy to separate from this crowd and from this crowd and from this activity and this church and not be a part of this and not be a part of this music, not be a part of this dress. But the problem with most Baptists is they're really quick to separate from, but we have to separate to as well. See, we need to flee from the devil and go to God. Amen. See, in 2 Corinthians verse 3, or chapter 3, it says, "The Lord is faithful, and who shall establish you and keep you from evil." See, God can keep us away from that if we'll cling to Him. You know, James said to flee the devil, or resist the devil and he'll flee from us. We need to flee from the devil and unto God. There's safety there in the Lord. Whenever we flee to God, there's safety there. In the book of Psalms, it says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Let me remind you tonight, if you're going through something, there's a strong refuge in God. There's strength in God. There's comfort in the Lord. And that's just the kind of God that we serve, and I'm thankful for that. But whenever we flee from the devil, we need to flee unto God. There's comfort and refuge there. And we can also trust in the Lord. Psalm 37 said, "Trust in the Lord and do good." Amen. That's what we need to do. Trust in God to keep us from all that stuff. We see that Joseph, he resisted, he retreated, and he refused first, and then he resisted and retreated. You know, there's sometimes that something's going to come up in your life and you can't do nothing but run from it. There's some things that are so urgent that we just got to get up and run from it. Ain't got no time to do nothing else. See, I think there's a lot of things with Joseph that we can learn from tonight. But I'm going to close with this. See, Joseph, he was with the Lord. The Lord was with him. We need to be in the Lord. You know, the Bible in the New Testament, it uses the phrase, "in Christ." Paul used it over and over and over again. That phrase, "in Christ," means being saved. We need to be in Christ. We need to be saved. We need to be living for the Lord. See, is the devil in control of your life? See, Potiphar's wife could have very easily, if Joseph would have done what she said, she would have been the one in control. She's the type of Satan. Whenever Satan says something to you, whispers something in your ear, do you resist it? Do you retreat from it? Do you refuse it? See, does God help you refuse it like He did to Joseph? If you're lost, God wants you to run from the devil and run unto Him. And we can all do that. And if you're saved, then you've done that before. See, whenever we get saved, that's when we're repenting. The word repenting is a word that means doing a 180 turn. If you're going this way, then you turn around and you start going this way. You're going from the devil to God. If you're lost, you need to get saved tonight. This is an urgent thing. We don't know when this thing's all going to be over with, Brother Rick. We don't know. It could happen right now, hear the trump of God, and the skies open up, and I hope it does. I hope it comes soon. But if you're saved, then you need, or if you're lost, then you need to get saved tonight. Maybe you're saved, but maybe you've got too many areas, or maybe even just one area, where you know you need to put up a better fight against the devil. We've all been there. I've been there. I don't know about you, but I know that I have. See, we need to put up a better fight against the devil. You know, it's easy to say that we need to refuse. Sometimes it's harder to do that. But I know that it's hard, but God will give you help. So if you're dealing with that tonight, you can come down to this altar and pray, and you can get some help from the Lord, And if you're lost, you can come down to this altar and pray and get some help from the Lord. Dear Father, Lord, I'm just thankful, Lord, for the message that you laid on my heart, God. And Lord, I pray.